welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in that name which is above every name, the matchless, glorious, wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these last several weeks, we have been sharing on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And with the Lord's help, I would like to conclude some thoughts on that final way. I shared six ways that it is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. We looked at our text, Ephesians 4:30, where Paul says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And we spent a great deal of time looking at ways, what does it mean to grieve? How can we grieve? And in the sixth area I was sharing with you is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit by grieving members of the body of Christ, by wounding others. And God wants us to be filled with His love. And if we have uncharitable thoughts, it will very easily lead to uncharitable speaking. And God wants us to be one. That's what Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of John, that we would be sanctified through His truth, Thy word is truth, but that also we would be one in Him, even as Jesus was one with the Father, that there would be perfect unity. And beloved, when that occurs, when there's love and joy and peace, that's as close to heaven as we're going to get in this earth, but we will see it in its perfection when we are together with the Lord and with all of our loved ones. And so the Holy Spirit is, He's not only an instructor, He's not only an empower, but He is a comforter of the church. And so we have to be careful, beloved, that we don't do anything that would grieve or alienate or offend or discourage or frustrate the saints of God. Now, I'd like to just mention something. When the power of the Holy Spirit is present, He is able to move by His gifts. And I would just like to take a few moments on the subject of prophecy. Prophecy, according to the Word of God in the New Testament, it is given for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And beloved, if you've ever gotten a prophetic word that just tears you down or makes you feel terrible, beloved, that's not originating from the Holy Spirit of God. Beloved, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit, He deals with us publicly. For example, if you were in a church service and got a prophetic word, He would deal in the same way with you as He would personally. In fact, even more so, because His purpose is not to humiliate us, is not to tear us down. But just like if we have offended, if we have sinned in our personal walk, the Holy Spirit, He doesn't condemn you, but He convicts you. It's amazing. He can convict of wrongdoing, and yet you're not decimated by it. You may feel badly. You'll have a godly sorrow and repentance, but you won't be devastated by it. And I'm thinking of, the many times Brother Glass had a powerful ministry of the prophetic gift. And there were times there would be exhortation, there would be edification. If you had ears to hear, the Lord was doing a gentle correcting, but it was always done in a very, very loving way. And this is so important, especially in all the gifts of wisdom and knowledge. We need to be tactful. We need to, and I would many times just marvel at the way He would convey truth, Brother Glass, in a prophetic word, but it was done in a loving and gentle way and a tactful way, so that a message could be received, but it would not be devastating, it would not be humiliating. And beloved, this is what prophecy should do. It, you know, you might get a prophetic word, and whether it's written or verbal, and you might have to think about it and say, Lord, have I done this? In fact, I'm thinking now, years ago, I went with other ministers. We went back to Ruth Heflin's camp meeting, and there was a young brother who was amazingly gifted in the prophetic word, and he was just going down this long prayer line giving prophetic words. And when he came to me, I remember the first words, the Lord said, I'm releasing you from fear. And now in the natural, I have not been a fearful person. In fact, before I was unsaved, I did many things that were really foolish and very dangerous in terms of, you know, going places by myself, doing things. And yet, it took a while as I pondered on that word. If I wanted, my flesh could say, well, I'm not fearful. I could have been offended and not received it. But as I sought the Lord, I began to realize that what the Lord was addressing was the fear, not of personal danger, not a fear of other things that might be a natural source of fear or anxiety, fear of the future, but it rather was a fear of standing before the Lord when my life was over, and that I would have failed him, I would not have pleased him, I would not have fulfilled his purpose in my creation. So it was really a fear that I was going to hurt or disappoint him. That was the fear the Lord was talking about. And so you see, what sounded like something to make you pause and think about, really, God was, and I allowed the Holy Spirit. You see, I refused to be offended. And so, beloved, if you get a prophetic word and it doesn't bear witness with you, or you're not quite sure how to react to it, just allow the Holy Spirit. If it's of God, he will bring understanding. And if it's not, you can just put it on the shelf. It may be for a future time. Who knows? But the point is, what I want to emphasize is that the prophetic word is meant to exhort, edify, or comfort. The Holy Spirit is the comforter of the church. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4, the Word of God says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Beloved, we have to feel God's love, God's comfort, his security, his safety, before we can really minister to others. So, beloved, let's not do anything that would bring a reproach on the Lord. And that's why it's so important to have a grasp and an understanding and a revelation of the whole Word of God. The purposes of God, the advancement of the kingdom, is not served by debate and argument. You know, I've unfortunately have heard radio broadcasters, there are entire ministries that are devoted to tearing down other ministers with the purpose of preventing the saints from going off into deception or false doctrine. Well, beloved, that is not our place. If someone literally is against, does something that is speaking doctrinally that, you know, there's salvation in some other way outside of Jesus, that's one thing. But I have heard ministries that are not Spirit-filled, and they would speak very harshly against those who were Spirit-filled. You know, say, that's of the devil. Now, beloved, we have to be very, very careful when we're in a situation like that. I mean, let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's not say, and that's where the danger of blaspheming the Holy Ghost is, by saying what the Holy Spirit is doing is done by the devil. In fact, that's what they accused Jesus of, which is when he began to address about that unpardonable sin. And so, let's just remember that you're not going to convince anyone or argue if there's differences in doctrine. You're not going to resolve it by debate and argument. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 20, Paul speaks, and he was expressing fear and concern lest he find, and I'm quoting now, debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 23, he said to avoid I'm quoting now, foolish and unlearned questions. Paul wrote this because he said, knowing that they do gender strifes. So, beloved, you're not going to advance the cause of Christ by arguing with other Christians about points of belief. In 2 Timothy, that second chapter, verse 16, the Living Bible says, steer clear of foolish discussions which lead people into the sin of anger with each other. You hear that now? Somebody needs to hear this. Steer clear of foolish discussions which lead people into the sin of anger with each other. God wants us not to grieve one another, but to seek after peace and in love and in unity, pray for one another. None of us are perfect. As you probably heard that little quote, we're all a work in progress. Praise God. And so, beloved, we, as I begin to conclude this time that we've shared on our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we understand His function is to comfort the church. In Acts, the 9th chapter, verse 31, it says, then have the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. In other words, God increased the church as in terms of numbers, but also spiritually. They were edified. They were walking in the fear of the Lord, and they were being comforted by the Holy Ghost. Beloved, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, in my life, and we will know that we're operating in His same ministry when we seek to comfort and encourage and uplift one another. Praise God. Well, with the Lord's help, I believe maybe tomorrow we can conclude this subject, and then we'll see what else the Lord has for us. What next? Thank you so much for joining me. It's such a blessing. I've been so inspired and so thrilled to be able to share this teaching with you, and I pray that you have been blessed. If you've not written before, why don't you drop me a note and let me know you have been encouraged. And I do invite you, as I do always, that if you have prayer needs, please feel free to write, email, or snail mail, and I will respond to you. And whatever the Lord gives, I know you'll be blessed by. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.